Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mike Evans' fate rests in the hands of one James Thrash, and he is the guy who listened to the appeal of Mike Evans for that one-game suspension. By the time you hear this podcast, we may have an answer expected around sometime around noon today, perhaps earlier. And it's a process. I don't think he's going to get very far with James Thrash. It would have been either Thrash or Derek Brooks, obviously. Brooks with, you know, all the Tampa Bay ties, franchise he played for, you know, far be it from them to have any sort of appearance of impropriety, so they went with Thrash. But really, what could his argument be? I was trying to think about this, and there have been scuffles in the NFL that look similar, and guys were not suspended. In fact, there have been scuffles in the NFL that look similar, and guys have not even been thrown out of the game, which Mike was. Mike's first incident back in the day was one that he didn't get thrown out of the game, and he absolutely blindsided, you know, at that point. It wasn't even like a fight. He just came to the rescue of, you know, Jameis Winston and blindsided Marshawn Lattimore, who never even saw him coming, and he still didn't even get ejected from the game. He did get suspended. And I just think that they're going to probably look at this entire optic as the NFL is wont to do. You know, so much of what they do is not necessarily based on the offense, but just the optics of it. And they don't want this to ever continue. Football is not a sport. There's enough physical contact, and you don't need sort of bench-clearing brawls. It's kind of funny when they get out there because there's nothing they can do to really hurt each other except, you know, maybe take off a helmet and swing it at somebody. But I don't know which way it's going to go. I tend to think it's not going to go the Bucs' way. And that's going to hurt them in this game. Look, more injury news occurred on Monday. Akeem Hicks, he tore his plantar fascia in his foot. He's going to miss probably around 4 weeks. Now, sometimes, you know, it varies how fast they can recover from that. But let's say it's a month. That's significant. And he's, what, 32, 33 years old. So you start looking at this team. Josh Wells, who's 31, I think, he's going to miss this game, according to Todd Bowles, with a calf injury. His isn't quite as serious, maybe, as Akeem Hicks. But now you're down to your third tackle. And actually, I thought Brandon Walton played really well, the kid from Seminole High School. But nonetheless, third tackle. And then you look at Julio Jones. Not going to practice today because he doesn't practice on Wednesday. So the earliest we would know anything about him is Thursday. Coming off a knee injury, guy that's missed at least 7 games in each of the last 2 years. And in the games he played, he didn't practice very much during the week. So Chris Godwin, you know, suffering from the hamstring. The Bucs went out, and the Bucs did what the Bucs always do, or have done since Tom Brady's been here. They said, is there anybody out there that's, I don't know, 30-something years old that might want to play a couple downs for us before heading off into the sunset? Oh, yeah. Come on down, Cole Beasley. We're going to put you on the practice squad. Cole Beasley, 10 years in the league, really good slot receiver. Hadn't been signed by anybody. Said he had a couple of teams that had wanted to sign him. He's going to go on the practice squad, and I would think he's probably going to potentially play on Sunday if they can get him up to speed with enough things to, you know, for him to do. I mean, think about the receivers that they may have to put out there, right? Let's say that Julio Jones doesn't make it back or Chris Godwin, and I frankly think you'd really err on the side of caution with Godwin regardless of how he says he feels. So we're looking at kind of a skeleton crew. Now, I know Breshad Perriman made the big play. He made the one touchdown grab, which, you know, separated the score because it was a 3-3 game to that point. But who else are we talking about here? Russell Gage had a bunch of targets and very few catches the other day. Scotty Miller had the most targets. I think he had 8 and had like 4 or 5 catches. And perhaps a drop in there. The drop passes were something that absolutely irritated Brady like crazy. I think Jalen Darden played like 10 or 11 snaps on offense, never saw a pass, but got a holding penalty, which pushed them back. And so the one play he made as a receiver out there, he cost his team. There's just not a lot of weapons here. And the tight ends, if you're going to go, well, you know, it's hey, how about the tight ends? Well, they've caught all of 2 passes all season, right, for almost no yards. Kyle Rudolph can't get a helmet on game day. So I don't know who Tom's going to throw it to. But Cole Beasley might be one of those guys. And that's why he's here. You know, how fast can Odell Beckham Jr. get his, you know, ACL healed up? Because we saw that hugathon going on in New Orleans on Sunday. It's looking grim, you know, for the Bucs, but this is not unexpected. When you have the oldest roster in the NFL, and I'm not even mentioning, haven't mentioned guys like Ryan Jensen, you know, who's in his 30s and went down the second day of training camp. Now, that was a freak injury. Young guys get hurt in this game, too, no question. But I've always said, you know, your older players typically don't get healthier and more productive as they continue to age. It is a young man's game. The unicorn is Tom Brady. No, there are no examples like him. But the rest of them, yeah, they get hurt. And they keep getting hurt. And that's, you know, Keem Hicks has missed like 20 games in the last 3 seasons. So are we surprised? Right? Are we surprised? I'm not. It's unfortunate because these guys look good in training camp in the first week and all that. But
I don't know if I'm surprised, but you're 2 weeks in the season, and once again you're hitting a position that you get decimated in, which is what happened last year to the Bucs.
And that's what they tried to avoid.
Secondary.
Yeah.
And they beefed up the secondary, adding Keanu Neal and Logan Ryan.
Yep.
And
it's great.
Getting players back healthy. Mm-hmm. They tried to beef up the receiving core by adding Julio Jones and Russell Gage. And but it still hit them now. And, you know, that's what we've talked about this. You know, the NFL is a game of attrition. What you can't have is one position get nailed.
No.
You know, you're going to lose guys throughout the season. Some for a couple games, some for longer, some for the season, like Ryan Jensen. I mean, you're on your 3rd offensive tackle now.
Yeah. Look, nobody has 2 really good offensive tackles, much less 4. So when you have, you know, more than an injury at a spot like that is not one that there's just guys on the street, right? It just doesn't happen. I mean, you want to, you know, try to talk, you know, retired players out of retirement, you can try that. But for the most part, they're on a roster if they can play. And that's what training camp is about. That's what building the roster is about, is to have depth and versatility. And look, they may have stumbled into something in the Brandon Walton. I don't, you know, he played 44 snaps prior to that. It was 4. And they all came on special teams in the Dallas game. 4 snaps is all that guy had played in an NFL game. And they had to go out and play 44. And he held up. Did okay. Not great, not perfect, but okay. Well, we still don't know what he is for a full game. And he's likely going to have to start this game. And that's not a good place to be in. But we know that Brady's going to turn and hand it off to Leonard Fournette. That's the other guy. You know, Leonard Fournette is got this team on his back. I mean, he's getting hard yards, man. Like, he's getting hit 5 and 6 and 7 times and maybe getting a 2-yard gain. I mean, you do that 25 times a game, you're not going to make it through 17 weeks. So they're going to need some others to kind of step it up and contribute, and that's what Tom has been talking about. And I think that's why he's frustrated, is some of the younger guys, they need to make plays now. You know, this is not, you're not a rookie as far as they're concerned. You're the best player they can put on the field. And when you're out there, if you're Coke Keefe or you're Rashad White and they throw you the ball, you got to catch it. You know, we know you're human and not everybody's going to catch everything, but you're out there for a reason, to make plays. And I think Brady is already, you know, has little patience, as you might imagine, for some of these younger guys that he has to play with dropping balls, and that's why he trusts and has a bigger trust, you know, in older, experienced players. But the problem is they can't stay healthy, you know. And, again, there are young guys that are hurt too. We haven't seen Giovanni Bernard, older guy, been inactive. We haven't seen Keyshawn Vaughn, younger guy, been inactive. You know, Kyle Rudolph, older guy, been inactive. They're going to start mixing it up and putting some of those guys out there just to see if they can help, you know, with some of the workload and create some plays, because right now they're just not getting a lot of them. But when you have an elite defense, you don't need a lot of points. This is not going to be 30 points a game. You might win by 14 or 17, but it's, you know, it's going to be 17 or 14 to 3. And that's sort of how they're doing it right now. So I don't know. I mean, Mike Evans, if he wins this appeal, I mean, they should throw him a parade. But this balances out this game against the Packers, because I think the Packers have their own issues, obviously, at wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers is trying to get used to a bunch of young guys who, oh, by the way, are a talented group, and they're not hurt. So those are two things that they have going for them. They'll get better as the season goes on, and maybe this will be the breakout game in Tampa. I don't know. It's probably further down the road. So they've got their own issues with personnel, and especially at the receiver position. So I think this is going to be a defensive battle. It's going to be a, you know, battle of wills. Two great quarterbacks trying to, you know, figure it out down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and, you know, mostly a low-scoring game, I think, unless one team or the other turns it over a bunch. And that's where the Bucs defense has been so good. They've forced so many turnovers, 10 sacks, all of that, that it gives them a really good look. But, man, I'll tell you, really early on, the age has already begun to show on this football team. And that, and people would say, well, that's unfair. They're playing football like, you know, plantar fascia. You can't, you know, that can happen to any guy. Yeah, it can. It can. You're right. You're right. But how many games has Hicks missed in the last 3 years? 20. Okay? So he's had that track record, as had Julio Jones. You know? So, I mean, are we surprised? I mean, shouldn't be surprised. You know? Past behavior, predicting future behavior. I mean, you know, again, injuries are going to happen in the league, and it happens to young players too, but happens much more frequently to guys that have played as long as they have. So we'll see. We'll see if Evans wins his appeal, and, you know, it'll be a newsy day, obviously, out there at the Advent Healthcare Training Center. We've got your mailbag questions today as well. We can get to those, and then we'll wrap it up with what has been a very disappointing Rays series against the Houston Astros. Going to get to your questions here in just a second, but first I want to make you aware of May Electric Solar. Your electric bill is going up. We got a solution. They're a family-owned business. They've been operating and installing solar electric systems for 12 years. There's a lot of these fly-by-night companies, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to guarantee their workmanship. That's right, with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection on all your appliances. That right there is the May difference. If you visit their Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products and conducts on-site testing. You can see exactly what they're going to install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, and that's important. You know exactly who is doing the job. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long and preserve the quality of your life and the quality of your appliances as well. May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862.
So I texted you this afternoon. I was in New York for some meetings on Monday and Tuesday, and I was heading back to Tampa on Tuesday afternoon. And so I'm at the airport just grabbing a bite to eat before the plane. And Max Kellerman shows on. And I'm not hearing the audio. I'm just seeing the screen. But the chyron is, should the Bucs run the ball more? Well, it's obvious you don't follow the Bucs because they have been. And we said all along, they're going to this year. That's why they re-signed Leonard Fournette to a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
That's why they paid him $7 million a year.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about protecting 45-year-old Tom Brady. So I think it's funny how the national media, well, it's not funny. I mean, they can't deep dive onto teams like you do. And your team.
Well, they don't watch every game. They're not in training camp and kind of seeing what the dynamic of Todd Bowles is going to be. I mean, when you ask if, you know, can they run anymore? I mean, they'd have to be running marathons to run anymore. They'd have to, you know, I don't know what else you can do. They have made it very obvious, especially on first down, almost every first and second down, that they're going to keep it on the ground, and that's what they'll continue to do. You know, and the reason is, I'm sure the debate turned to, well, you got to protect Tom Brady and that offensive line. But the offensive line, what they do best is run block. And that's how you do protect Tom Brady. And so there is truth to that. But I think Tom Brady is perfectly fine playing this style. Because you know what? He wants to make it through the 18 regular season games, or 17 regular season games, and whatever comes after that, you know, with the 18th game. He wants to be in the postseason. He wants to win a Super Bowl. So he's fine with what's going on right now. But, yeah, turn, run the ball. Run as fast as you can, Gingerbread Man. I mean, let's go. I mean, that's the plan right now, to help that offensive line, to keep Brady upright for all those weeks, and to create some play action, you know, for the passing game. So, yeah, I just don't know they can run it much more than they have already. And look, other teams know it. So they're going to make it harder on them to run the football, you know? But that's okay, because if you start walking people down in the box and there's 8-man fronts or 9-man fronts, guess what? Over your head. The old guy can still chuck it, man. He's not Peyton Manning circa last year in Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can still spin it.
Yes, he can.
You know, but yeah, and that's ridiculous is what that is.
Well, on that note, Bob had emailed you a question. He said, somewhere Tony Dungy must be smiling with the Bucs employing the ground chuck offense that he used in the 90s with Trent Dilfer. I understand that it's about protecting Tom Brady and keeping the defense off the field, but do you think they can keep it up for over 17 weeks, particularly with Leonard Fournette claiming he is running on one leg? Is Rashad White ready to play a bigger role to spell Fournette over the length of the season?
I don't know that he is, and I think you're right. I think that the byproduct of this is going to be one beaten up Leonard Fournette. I don't think he's going to make it through the season. I don't know that he's going to make it through next week. I mean, he is taking an incredible, incredible amount of physical punishment every time he touches the ball because, like I said, people know what the Bucs want to do, and they're still trying to do it, and he's been successful at it. To his credit, he's running over people, but I have already seen him begun to wear down. You know, and you're going to need to get more out of Rashad White. I mean, that's the answer. And if not him, then it's got to be Keyshawn Vaughn or Giovanni Bernard. You need a committee out there more than you just need, you know, the chairman of the board. I mean, you need some other people to try to keep that guy fresh if you're serious about going to and winning the Super Bowl. So they need to distribute the workload just a little bit better. And if White's not ready, in other words, if he's making mistakes, dropping passes, doing these sort of things, not getting yards, you know, in the run game, then, you know, next man up, right? These other two guys have played a lot of football. So you're going to have to turn to them. But, yeah, I think it could definitely have an impact on Fournette, who's already, you know, missed the last three games a year ago and the postseason game. You can't afford to lose your bell cow like Leonard Fournette right now.
Steve had emailed a question to rstroud@tampabay.com, and you can email those questions anytime. He says, I'm relatively new to Florida, a transplanted Yankee, and a big Brady fan. He said, we arrived in Florida at the same time. His question's related to the hamstring injuries. He says, simple observations reveal that the Bucs receivers have had big issues with them the last few years. Can the same be said for Jacksonville and Miami's receivers, assuming they all have the same climate, et cetera, to deal with? Or is Tampa Bay just snake bit? I know it's good to stay hydrated, but is there something else going on?
I get this question a lot, and I guess my answer is I don't have the first clue, you know? I'm like Colonel Jessup on this one, you know? Maybe they lost too many fluids. Maybe they ran too many stairs. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked at Jacksonville. I haven't looked at Miami enough. They have had a lot of hamstring injuries. I'll be honest with you. I think it's sort of epidemic throughout the league in this sense, is that used to be my day, guys came to work out, or they came to training camp or whatnot, and they had about, 7 to 10 days where they were playing a game. And you played 4 preseason games, and the veterans played in the preseason games. I couldn't imagine, and I think this is part and parcel one of the reasons why you're getting so many hamstrings, especially these first couple weeks, is I can't imagine having played one series in the preseason, not regular season, preseason. And then comes Sunday, September 11th, and it's like, all right, boys, strap it on. We're going as far as we can go, like 65, 70 plays. Do you know what your body and your legs in particular must feel like after that? Because even when you're playing, I mean, you know, every down doesn't matter, right? Every possession is not necessarily, you know, going to cost your team because it's preseason, it's training camp, and so on. And now you go out there and emotionally, physically, you got to be gassed, man. At some point in the early part of the year, you've just got to absolutely be, you know, worn out. And that's what I would worry about Leonard. I mean, I know he's a big hoss and, you know, 240 plus pounds or whatever, but it's a big load he's trucking right now, man.
All right, Alejandro tweeted us. He says, if the injuries to the wide receiver position keep on piling up and then turning into long-term versus short-term, could we see the Bucs adding other receivers to the roster? And if so, who, other than Cole Beasley?
Oh, hell yeah. And we talked about him, man. OBJ, you know. You just got to hope the timing works out, that you can spackle enough wins together and get guys, you know, back healthy in and out of the lineup. But is it reasonable to think that Julio Jones is not going to play more than half the games? Yeah, because he hasn't done that in the last 2 years, right? Chris Godwin is still a question mark. Even when he does come back, is he going to be Chris Godwin? Scotty Miller has taken a significant slide back, you know, to the point where if they activate Cole Beasley, Scotty Miller may get cut. He may get cut. So, yeah, there's room for another receiver, and his initials are OBJ. And, you know, that's a guy that you can't let go to the Rams, you know? You just that's not going to help you in any way. And I guarantee you that the GOAT, you know, has his contact information, is probably checking on him every day, you know. And if you think that the Bucs have the juice to get you back to a suit or get you to a Super Bowl and win it, that's all the appeal you need. So, yeah, I definitely think, look, like I said, there is nothing, ain't no mountain high enough or OBJ low enough to keep them from trying to do every single thing they can do to win right now, right here. You know, that's it. And it should be that way with the NFL, and every team in the NFL should have that desire, but they don't all have the same urgency because they don't have, you know, a quarterback like Brady that most likely is in his last year here and then maybe ever. So, yeah, you got to go for it big time.
Do you think Brady's on the phone to Gronk as well?
No, I mean, I think they talk anyway. You know, I don't think there's like, hey, man, this is worse than I ever thought. You gotta come back, man. I can't do this alone. There's probably a little bit of groveling and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think my guess is that Gronk has given the Heisman to the Bucs and to Brady enough times to where he's probably not even trying. But when it come closer to December, when there's just a month left and you got some time to get back in shape before the postseason, to me, if that phone call isn't made by December 1st or very close to it, then Gronk is truly retired. Could something speed that up? Absolutely. You know, it sure could. I mean, the tight ends are not lighting up the scoreboard right now. They're in hell, they're not even seeing passes thrown their way. And so that's the most famous free agent, right? And he's known him for a long time, so we'll see what the power of recruitment is, but it would not ever shock me if he became a Bucs receiver again, based on what their needs are and who's left.
All right, Ellis had tweeted, said, given the small sample size, I know we can't say for sure, but if the Bucs defense continues to dominate like they did the first two games, would we be able to speak with them in the same reverence as we speak of the 0-2 defense?
It's possible. It sounds blasphemous, but it's possible. And stay with me here a little bit. What if I told you? Okay, you know the old, what if I told you? What if I told you that Devin White was going to win Defensive Player of the Year and that he was going to play 10 or 12 years in this league and win a couple Super Bowls? You know, before long, he's going to have the credentials of a Derrick Brooks. I mean, that's possible, right? It's early in his career. We can't really make that prediction yet. You know, you've got other players. Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett is one of the elite pass rushers in this league the last 3 years, and it's not even close. He, you know, he had the 19.5 sacks 2 years ago, but he's been a consistent, you know, pressure guy on the quarterback and will be again, and already has 2 sacks in the first 2 games. And you know what? Simeon Rice came over here and averaged 10 sacks a game for every year he played. I mean, in his career, not just in Tampa. So, Shaq Barrett, Simeon Rice. You can go down the line, you can kind of see, you know, some parallels. But the biggest parallel is this. They don't allow any points. I mean, they don't allow any points. They have a field goal against Dallas and a garbage touchdown that, by the way, Todd Bowles is still mad about. Heard him on his radio show. He's still ranting about it. He's like, oh, they should have never scored. That was terrible. Yeah, well, you would have gone 2 games with no touchdowns then. As it is, it looks pretty good. I don't know. We were terrible on that drive. I don't know what happened. So, all that being said, what did the Bucs defense do in 02? They had a number one scoring defense. Bucs are number one right now, I believe. They had, I want to say, 5 defensive touchdowns. That was a goal. You know, just a ton of turnovers, whatever they set their minds to. I think they got it and eclipsed it. But, you know, and they're off to a 2-0 start. I mean, it's very, very similar to this point. But, you know, longevity has its curse. I mean, they need to do this every week and have to do it for a full season. And then, oh, by the way, for good measure, if you get into a Super Bowl, go ahead and, you know, have your 5 interceptions there and a couple of pick sixes, and then they can talk to you about being one of the best defenses, not just in Bucs history, but in the NFL history. That's how that go. You know, so they can do a lot of things, man. There's a lot of great things that they can prove, especially defensively. And like I said, Devin White, maybe he's a Hall of Famer one day, you know? Like, maybe he is. And there could be others on that defense. We just don't know. But we know there were 2 on the defense you're talking about, and, you know, that obviously was Sapp and Brooks. And now John Lynch as well. So there's 3.
And possibly Rondé at some point.
And possibly Rondé should be next, absolutely.
Well, Brian, we'll piggyback off that, tweeted us. He says, through 2 games, do you see Devin White taking that jump you expected last year from him?
I do. I do, and I think he was humbled last year. I think he came off the Super Bowl win with a lot of fanfare, deservedly so. Rookie comes in and wins the Super Bowl his first season in the NFL. It's like, oh, this is pretty easy. Well, no, it's not. You know, look to your left, look to your right. On any team, you're going to find a whole bunch of guys that never sniffed it. And, you know, he got opportunity as a result of winning a Super Bowl. He did commercials. He did a movie about his life, essentially, you know, by NFL Films, Wild Horses. He was everywhere, and he cashed in, and good for him. You know, that's what I would do. I would want to cash in whatever fame I had at the time. The problem is that he didn't go out and play very well, and he let some things slip. And I just think that, you know, his attentions were sort of stretched elsewhere at times. And it was not a good year for him by his standards. I think he still made the Pro Bowl, but it wasn't really a good year for him by his standards. And I think he's rededicated himself mostly to the film room. You know, like a lot of the stuff that he winds up getting blamed for is simply because he's not in the right spot at the right time. And if the guys around him do that, you know, I was listening to Todd Bowles talking about the you know, game 2. And really in each game, they've kicked off and allowed the opponent to drive pretty much the length of the field and kick a field goal, you know, and you can't do that. You just can't do that, man. That's a terrible habit to start games with, because pretty soon they're going to start putting those field goals are going to become touchdowns, and you're going to dig yourself a hole. We're going to talk about grave diggers. That's how you do it. So they've got to find a way to turn that around and start faster. And maybe it's just that they lose a coin toss and take the ball instead of deferring to the second half. I don't know. But whatever it is, they're going to have to do it pretty quick.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We got a couple more mailbag questions. We'll hit those on the show Friday. We're going to have Matt Baker, our college football writer, to talk about the Seminoles' 3-0 start, the USF Florida game, which was off the chains. Good. He was at that one as well. So we got college football talk. And the Rays taking it on the chin again, Steve. They lose to the Houston Astros 5-0. Only three hits in the game. They look like a tired team or one that is just, you know, kind of in a funk right now.
Well, it's eight hits in the two games and scored a whopping zero runs.
Woof.
And the Astros are showing you why they're the best team in the American League.
True.
You know, they're playing really well and showing it. But of more consequence is Shane McClanahan left the game hurt.
Yeah.
And he did not look good. Mm. The first three innings, no strikeouts. Mm. It was either two or three swings and misses.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Shane McClanahan.
No.
Now, he left with, what, shoulder spasms and tightness, and his velo was down some, which explains a lot of that too. So
yeah, he doesn't look right. He doesn't feel right, obviously. You know, he had the shoulder impingement that knocked him out for a while. Now he's back. You don't see the 98-99s consistently like you were used to seeing, and I just think it's bad. I think it's all bad. I just think it's all bad when you go back out there, and you know, it's probably related to the first injury in some way or whatnot.
You hope not. You hope it's just slept on his neck wrong last night or whatever. I mean, you know, that's what you hope. It's not the elbow. It's not, you know, it's the shoulder this time, and it was spasm. So, you know, maybe slept wrong, maybe whatever. I mean, that's what your hope is. We'll probably know more in the next day or two. But they've got one more game against the Astros, and then they have to go to Houston next week as part of their nine-game road trip to end the season.
It's hang on to the third wild card right now is what it is. It's like, hello, Cleveland, you know?
Well, the good thing is Baltimore is far enough back.
That's true.
Where, you know, you hope you're what, 5.5 games ahead of Baltimore?
You don't want to fall out of the playoffs, let's put it that way.
Right. You know, if you're the third wild card, you're okay with it.
Yeah. Probably more than okay if you can't be the first.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore lost to Detroit on Tuesday night, so
that's helpful.
Yeah, so you're 5.5 games for, you know, of your playoff cushion, I guess is what you would call it.
Right.
You know, because to be honest, you'd probably rather be third wild card than second wild card.
Absolutely.
You'd rather be the first to get a home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the third one, you're going to play the Guardians most likely. The White Sox could still catch them, but
yeah, but weaker division opponent, no matter which team it is, and you know. Yep. By then, you hope the bats wake up and you do a little more. But
the magic number for Baltimore and Chicago, who are tied for the first spot outside the wild card, although Chicago's still playing, so that could be very, the magic number is 11.
11, wow.
So you need 11 wins by the Rays or 11 losses by Baltimore and Chicago to clinch a spot. So, you know, and what, how many games left?
Not 14? That many to play. What, 17
left?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're at 148. So, 14 games left.
Man, you can see it. You can smell it. You can feel it. All of that. So,
but one more against Houston, then you get Toronto in town for four this weekend.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, the final home games of the year for the Rays. And then, as we've talked about, they could have 14 straight road games if they keep winning in the playoffs, but start on the road.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel – I, you know, a couple weeks ago I felt really good, but when McClanahan's shoulder situation, Tyler Glasnow is going to be throwing in Durham. He might be a week or so away.
He's better than 50-50 chance to come back. So,
which is just incredible. And what a boost. What a boost.
I think it'd be a boost in the clubhouse, too.
Absolutely.
Not just you know, on the field, which he can be electric, of course.
Yeah. Great competitor, great guy. Going to bring a lot of life to them. So that'll be a good one. And one final thing, if you're looking to save money on your electric bill, call our friends at May Electric Solar. They've been installing solar panels and systems for 12 years. They have a 30-year labor and service warranty. You get $750 worth of surge protection. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862. Schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. That's May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. Thanks for listening. For Steve Verstink, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.